Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
Psalm 73 is the story of one man's journey through a time of difficulty and a feeling of being abandoned, a feeling of being left to himself. It's the story of Asaph, one of the men that David chose to help write the songs of Israel, right? Asaph takes us with him on this journey of his perspective of those around him, his perspective of himself, and also his perspective of God himself. And today we're going to take that journey with him through this psalm. We're going to see how his perspective affected his heart. How did his perspective affect his heart to make him almost lose faith in God? But we're also going to see what helped him through that time. And we're going to see what helped him to once again be able to see things clearly as they really are, okay? So that's what we're going to be looking at. We're going to start in verse 1. Psalm 73, verse 1 says this: "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart." Starts off pretty good. Man, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But he starts off the next verse in a quite different way. "But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped." Basically, in Asaph's words, Asaph is saying, "I know God is good, but I'm struggling. I'm struggling with my being able to trust in God's goodness. I feel doubts starting to come up into my heart, and it's literally affecting my walk with Him. I feel like I'm slipping. I feel like I'm stumbling. I feel like I can't stay on this path of walking with Him." He's struggling and he's feeling the slippery effects of doubt entering and creeping into his heart, and it's hard for him to walk with God. So the question is, what made him feel this way? Why did Asaph feel the way he did about his feet not slipping and stumbling, about his not being able to, feeling like he can walk on the path with God? Verse 3: "For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." For Asaph, it was how he saw the prosperity of those who did not love God, for those who did not follow Him. And it made him envious. It made him jealous. It's like, "God, what's going on here? I know you're good to those who have a clean heart. I get that. But man, it sure seems like you're not that much different to those who have a wicked heart. It seems like, to my eyes, it looks like those who are wicked are doing just fine. Like they're actually feeling like, I feel like they're doing even better than me. They're better than those who you say you love. And I don't get it. I don't understand this, God. And the question is, why should I keep following you when all I see are my struggles and their prosperity? I'm envious of them. And this makes me wonder, is it worth it to follow after God?" And Asaph reminds me of three different aspects where he sees the prosperity of the wicked as opposed to his personal struggle, especially as it pertains to those who love God and to those who have no care in the world for God. And the differences, the three aspects of the difference. The first one we're going to look at is in verse 4. It says this: "For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm." They don't seem to be struggling. Even in death, they don't seem to struggle. They seem to die in peace. There's no pain in their death. Even their death seems to be not that difficult. Their strength is firm. Their strength doesn't seem to go away. And verse 5 says this: "They are not in trouble as other men. Neither are they plagued like other men. They seem to have simply put, an easy life. It doesn't seem like they suffer that much. They don't seem to go through hardships and struggles like I do or like we do as followers of Jesus. They seem to have an easy life. That was hard for Asaph to take in, to see that. But it wasn't just an easy life. There was more to it. They seemed to get away with wrongdoing. They seemed to get away with doing wrong. If you look in the next couple of verses 6 through 9, we're going to read through these. Therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Verse 7, their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than their heart could wish. Let me go back to the previous verse because I want to show something. Their pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. And this contrast, it's like their heart overflows with pride and confidence because they seem to get away with doing wrong things. Their heart overflows with pride and self-confidence, right? And then in the second verse, their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than their heart could wish. Their bodies overflow with fat from all of their good food. They have no fear, and so they just constantly eat whatever they want to. And then thirdly, they are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth, verse 9, against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Not only does their heart overflow with pride and confidence, not only do their bodies overflow with fat from all of their good food, but their mouth overflows with corruption and plans of wrongdoing. Literally, verse 9, they seem to speak against God and others with no fear and no punishment of them. But that isn't all. The third aspect is this. Therefore, his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. It isn't just that they seem to have it easy. It isn't just that they seem to get away with doing wrong. They also looks like those around them respect them and look up to them. Here's water for you guys. Here's things that the waters of a full cup are wrung out to them in the context of they get whatever they want to because everybody likes them. They don't see anything wrong with the way they're living, those around them. This is hard for Asaph to see. This is difficult for him. If we keep reading, verse 11 says this. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Verse 12, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Ultimately, this is how the wicked see their life, according to Asaph. They look at God and they say, how does God know? He doesn't know anything. They can do whatever they want to. They can say whatever they want to. They can be whatever they want to. They can live for their own selfishness and for their own lusts. And it seems as if nothing happens to them. They just keep prospering. This is what Asaph saw. This was his struggle. This was the lens through which he saw those who did wicked around him. And for Asaph, his struggle, his perspective of life, was the difficulty in seeing the wicked prosper. It was hard for him to see that. That was Asaph's struggle. A lot of times it's different for different people. You may not seem to struggle with Asaph's perspective. Your perspective may be a little bit different. You may be struggling with a different kind of perspective. Maybe it's a perspective towards your friends. Maybe it's a perspective towards your family or even towards other Christians. Maybe that's your perspective. And sometimes in your eyes, it seems that the way God treats them is different than the way he treats you. You don't see the similarities. And that perspective affects your heart. It affects your heart in the same way it did Asaph. Look at how Asaph's heart was affected. Look at verse 13. It says this. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. Verse 14, for all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. Asaph's like, why am I trying to live with a pure heart? I don't get it. Why am I trying to live my life in a way that pleases God? It just doesn't make sense to me. Seems like everything is just vain. It's like meaningless. This is where Asaph's heart is kind of leaning toward. Honestly, God, here's the thing. It isn't just that I'm plagued. Like I have all these troubles. It isn't just that my eyes are set on all of the difficulties that I'm going through. It's even beyond that. Sometimes I feel like, God, you are the one who's punishing me, not the other guys. It seems like I am the one being punished by you where you're letting the other guys go off scot-free. Do you feel like that sometimes where God is like, man, I feel like not only am I like in all these difficulties and struggles, not only do I have the problems of the world on me, sometimes I feel like God is punishing me and he's letting others get away with their wrongdoing. He seems to be easy on others, but he seems to be hard on me. Verse 15. If I say, I will speak this, I'm going to speak my mind. I'm going to say what I think. Behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. If I say that, I'm going to end up being a stumbling block to those around me. Verse 16, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Even just thinking about it hurt. I didn't even want to think about it because it was so painful for me to think about my situation. As much as Asaph saw the prosperity of the wicked, as much as he saw his own difficulties in comparison, he didn't feel like he could talk about it because he didn't want to be a stumbling block to others because of the doubts he was going through. It didn't make sense, and he was so confusing, and everything was so blurry and so gray that he did not know what to think about, how to think about it. But there was something that changed Asaph's perspective. There was something that Asaph did that was so helpful to him that essentially it was like putting on a new pair of glasses where he could see everything clearly and in full color again. There was no gray doubts of his life once again. Once again, he could see the beauty of the things around him. It helped him to see clearly everything that was going on in his life. What he had lost sight of before, he now once again has a fresh perspective. So what did he do? What happened? How did he get this new perspective? What changed in his life? Verse 17 tells us the answer. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, and then it all became clear. I understood their end. Ultimately, the thing that changed for Asaph was that he went into God's house. Honestly, I don't think it was easy for Asaph to go to God's house in the perspective he had before he went there. With everything, the way he was feeling, the vainness of it that he was feeling, the unfairness that he was feeling, he probably did not feel like going to God's house, and yet he went. And when he went, it was there in God's house that everything changed for him. It was there that he was able to see things, not just from his earthly perspective, but from an eternal, a heavenly perspective. Asaph said he understood the end of the wicked. He understood the truth of his and their reality. It wasn't just about this life that Asaph needed to be looking at. It was more than that. There was more to it than that. Asaph once again was able to see things from an eternal perspective, from the eternal reality, from the heavenly reality, and it changed him. Just like it will change you. What Asaph did was a lot like what you and I do today when we go to church. It's hearing and singing the praises of God. and being reminded of who He is and what He does for you. Isn't that amazing? Oh, man, just the goosebumps. It was about hearing the words of God being taught, just like we are doing right now. This is awesome, right? It was about being able to spend time with other believers and experiencing the joy of being encouraged and the joy of being able to encourage. This is our new perspective when we come to church. We see the eternal aspect of God, and we are reminded of how we can get a right and correct perspective of our lives around here. We get to see, this is important, we get to see that we are forever the children of God because of the sacrifice of Jesus Himself for our sins. See, here's, this is why it's important. Because it's easy for us to forget that where those people were that Asaph was looking at, we were once there too. And yet Jesus, because He took our sins on Himself, Jesus, the Lamb of God, bore our sins and redeemed us and took away our sins, we too would have been no different from anybody around us in the way that Asaph thought. And so, Asaph, gaining this fresh perspective, is able to see once again how his life is actually an entirely different reality than he assumed it was before he went into the house of God. How important it is to have a place where brothers and sisters can gather together for the specific purpose of together refreshing our heavenly perspective, our eternal perspective. So in the same way that his wrong perspective affected his heart, so also his corrected perspective affects his heart to see those around him and even himself in the refreshed, in a new light that he had lost. Look with me, verse 18. This is an interesting start, isn't it? Remember the start of his mourning in verse 2, where he was saying, I was slipping everywhere. I couldn't have a strong foothold. I kept slipping. And everywhere I was stumbling and slipping. Look at his fresh perspective. Verse 18. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. That's an interesting thing. Let's keep reading. Verse 19. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment they are utterly consumed with terrors. Verse 20. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Asaph is literally saying, it's not me who's in the slippery places. It's them. They are the ones who are one step away from their demise and from their destruction. All it takes is one step on a slippery piece of ice, and in an instant, everything they had built up crumbles to the ground. God, when you, in your perfect timing, awake to judge them, they will end up being the ones who are in a dream. Their reality that they thought was actually not. Now he sees their situation in an entirely different, but an actually proper perspective. And it doesn't nearly look as good to the other side as it did without that perspective. He doesn't have to envy them anymore like he did before he had this perspective. Before he envied the way they were, now he doesn't. He's like, man, am I glad I'm not there? It isn't just his perspective that changes, though. Not just his perspective of others that changes, also his perspective of himself changes. Look at verse 21. Thus my heart was grieved and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant, for I was as a beast before thee. Oh, how foolish I was. I was an idiot. Oh, how ignorant I was. What was I thinking, God? And sometimes I feel like that too. Steve, you're such an idiot sometimes. This is exactly what, this is the words that Asaph is using. Oh, I'm such an idiot. What was I thinking? I thought I knew what was going on, but really I was acting more like a dumb beast than an actual person in that context. I was so foolish. Here I am being loved and cared for by God. I was totally lost sight of that. Sometimes seeing ourselves from this heavenly and eternal perspective can cause us to see our hearts in that same way, in a clear light, like we hadn't thought of before. And it helps us to see that reality of our heart so we can grow from that, so that we can once again set our perspective in a right way, in a heavenly and an eternal way. But it wasn't just others' perspective. It wasn't just his own self whose perspective changed. He was also able to see God in a new perspective, in a refreshed perspective. Verse 23. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand, in spite of me not seeing things the right way, in spite of all of my mumbling and complaining, in spite of me not seeing things the way I ought to, you still held my hand through all of this. You never forsook me. Verse 24, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory. It's you that not only holds my hand to keep me from falling, it's you that guides me with your wisdom through your words. It's you that helps me all the way until I reach my eternity where you will welcome me with open arms. Verse 25, whom have I in heaven but thee? He's all I have and it's all I need. And there is none upon earth that I would desire beside thee. God, this is you who are in heaven for me. And this is the one, if knowing that, who on earth could I ever want with me walking this path more than you? It changed his perspective, not only of others, not only of himself, but also of God. God had never left me. He had always held my right hand. He had always walked me through this. He is always leading me, and he always will guide me and lead me into the very end of my life here on earth, where afterwards I will enjoy an eternity in glory with him. In spite of me not seeing all these things, God took care of me. And he responds in this way. It's true, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart. Even when my own heart fails and stumbles, God is the strength of my heart. He is the one who makes my heart strong. He is the one who is my portion, my inheritance forever. And he continues on, for lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. Verse 28, but it is good for me to draw near to God. They may draw away from you, and now I see their end. So it reminds me that it is good for me to be near God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. With his new perspective, he has regained his trust in God. And where previously he was afraid to speak of the things that he saw concerning God, now with his new perspective, he can't help but to share the good news of who God is with him. Isn't that amazing? Oh, I love that. His heart is bursting forth with praise to God. This is what a new perspective does for you. And it happens in the way that Asaph went to the house of God, and he sang the praises with those around him, and he heard the words of God, and he experienced who God is and what he does for us, and it changed his perspective. And so also it changes our perspective when we come to the gathering place of God. So here's my question for you, and it is this. How does your perspective compare to Asaph's? And how do you see life around you, those around you, maybe even yourself, or maybe God, in relation to how Asaph saw God and those around him. Is your perspective, which way does your perspective lean? Before church or after church? Church is a great place for us to gather. This is the reason why God gives us this opportunity to gather together, to sing his praises, to hear his word being preached, to be able to fellowship and to encourage one another, because in so doing, it helps us to have a refreshed perspective, to be able to see things, not just from an earthly point of view, but from an eternal, from a heavenly point of view. This is what going to church does. It's important that we do, because it helps us to see things from the right way. Hopefully, this has helped you and inspired you and motivated you to see how important it is for you to be in the house of God, to be gathered together with those around you, to have that perspective refreshed in your life as well. All right, let's go ahead and close in prayer, and then we will be done for today. And hopefully this will help us in our walk with him, to see the glorious, this amazing opportunity that he gives to us to glorify, to see things in the right way. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for the ways in which you care for us. Thank you for how you love us. Even in our times of doubt, even in our times of a wrong perspective, you still hold our hand, you still guide us, and you still lead us so that our feet do not slip. You are the strength of our heart, even in the times when our heart is weak. And for that, we thank you. We are able to trust you and to rely on you. Help us to see that. Help us to look at our life from an eternal and heavenly perspective. And in so doing, shout your praises of goodness and graciousness to us, to all those who will hear. And in so doing, honor you and glorify you through our life and through our words, because our heart has been set on good things, on you. In Jesus' name, amen.